time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. Thanks for tuning in this morning. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. We're going to hit the ground running today. We've got Tom Rogers with us from Owensboro, the site of the All-A Classic State Basketball Tournament this week. And Tom, good morning. How are things there in Owensboro?
Well, everything's sunny this morning, so cross your fingers it stays that way for a little bit longer. But for right now, it's a real nice start to the day.
Yeah, I got kind of warming up just a little bit here. I know it's still, you know, January, and we're not going to get real warm, but, man, it looks like our weather is about to change this weekend. And first of all, just what kind of plans does the All-A Classic have in case we get a bunch of snow Saturday or Sunday?
Well, I sort of feel like we're playing beat the clock up here. I was talking to tournament officials last night, and what I guess they expect to have to do is that they are going to squeeze things up a little bit tomorrow, maybe move the times of things up, and then all the teams that lose tomorrow, they're going to encourage them to get on the road as quick as they can tomorrow. And then I expect what they're going to do is double it up, do like the Sweet 16 does on Saturday. My understanding is they'll try to play the semifinals early Saturday morning and maybe get the championships in by midday Saturday and then tell everybody get home as quick, as safe as you can. So that's what I'm hearing is up in the air, depending on what we find out in the next 24 hours on the weather.
Well, the good thing is that the teams are already there, so we don't have to worry about getting them to the site. It's just getting everybody home that might be the issue.
Yeah, if you remember a couple of years ago, the weather was coming in about the time the tournament was supposed to start, and they decided to cancel it. And then there was so much turmoil over that, they came back and started playing it out in the state until the Final Four, and then they played the Final Four in the championship game in Richmond. This time I was talking to Chad Wolf last night with the All-A committee, and he says, you know, we've already got everybody here. Everybody's in town. And so you've got everybody here. You might as well get everything done you can as safely as you can and then get everybody back on the road.
So we've got Tom Rogers with us this morning from Owensboro, the site of the State All-A Classic. Both Lyon County teams are up there, and we'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us here on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Fredonia Valley Bank, thriving within our community since 1894. Its roots run as deep as the valley itself. Much has evolved since 1894, but Fredonia Valley Bank's dedication to being your hometown financial institution remains unwavering. In this era of financial unpredictability, you can rely on Fredonia Valley Bank's impressive years of exceptional service. Place your trust in them as they are prepared to care for your needs. Fredonia Valley Bank, local people, local decisions, and local commitment, your true hometown bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing.
School is in session, which means sniffles and sore throats are too. But Princeton Drug makes it simple. Feeling sick? Just pull up to our drive-thru and get tested for flu, COVID, or strep. No appointment needed. It's only $40 for testing, and if you need medication, our pharmacists can prescribe it right there in the drive-thru. You'll leave with your results, a prescription, and a school or work note all in about 20 minutes without leaving your car. Stay ahead of sick days. Stop by Princeton Drug's drive-thru and get back to what matters.
Powering your lives and lighting up your nights. Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout out goes to our Tigers as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
Did you know every time you shop in our big deal store, you're not just grabbing a great bargain? You're supporting local businesses right here in our community? At WPKY, the Big Deals Program allows local businesses to trade gift certificates for advertising, helping them grow as they reach more customers. And don't we all want our business community to grow? Help our local business community thrive and save money, too. Shop Big Deals at WPKYonline.com and make a difference. Visit WPKYonline.com and click on Big Deals today.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for joining us this morning. We've got Tom Rogers of Your Sports Edge with us from Owensboro, the site of the All-A Classic State Basketball Tournament this week. And, Tom, we got a couple of Lyon County teams up there, and one of them was in action last night.
Yep, the Lady Lyons opened their play last night in the round of 16, the 8 o'clock game, and played Carlisle County. Lady Lyons scored the first 8 points last night, never trailed. Carlisle got as close as three at halftime, but then Lyon County opened the second half on a run and led by 10 to 15 points most of the night and ended up winning by 17.
And the Lady Lyons play again Friday afternoon, and Lyon County is going to let school out Friday so everybody can go.
Yeah, I saw that this morning that they've made that announcement that everybody's going to get the chance to come up here. That'll be an interesting game. That, to me, is one of two big marquee games in the girls' tournament coming up on Friday. The matchup with Lyon and Covington Holy Cross, and then the other game up in the upper bracket between Bishop Brossard and defending champion Danville Christian. Brossard was almost out of this thing on the first day. Greene County led them most of the game, and then Brossard came back. So Brossard and DCA and Lyon County and Covington Holy Cross look like two big matchups on a Friday. And if you remember, the last time Lyon County was in this tournament, they got to the quarterfinals. And who did they face in 2022 but Covington Holy Cross?
Now the boys get going today, and Lyon County has a late one tonight in a game that a lot of people in Western Kentucky will be paying attention to.
Yeah, that's the interesting, we call it the midnight game. It's scheduled for 9:30. You're stunned if that thing starts at 9:30. I would expect that to be closer to 9:45, 10 o'clock before they get started tonight. But Lyon County and Mayfield, Peyton Croft and his Mayfield Cardinals taking on Lions. Unusually, Region 1 and 2 drew each other both in the girls and in the boys and almost in identical positions in the bracket. But the Lions and the Mayfield Cardinals, it was almost Lyon County and Carlisle County again in the boys, because Carlisle's boys got to the championship game and then lost to Mayfield. The Mayfield-Lyon boys game, interesting matchup, but if Lyon County plays anything like they did against Lighthouse Christian over the weekend or earlier in the week, that's a scary bunch.
Well, even going into the tournament, it looked like both Lyon County teams had a chance to play for a while up there.
Yeah, they got pretty good draws, and the Lyon girls, of course, so far, their toughest obstacle to get in here has been Crittenden County, and once they got past that, they get that win last night, and if they can get past Covington Holy Cross tomorrow, they may be playing for the championship match. Monroe County and Lexington Christian is the game above them. I think either Covington Holy Cross or Lyon County can handle either one of those two. On the boys' side, yeah, I like Lyon County's draw, and I like their path possibly to getting back to the championship game again. Of course, remember, Lyon County last year got to the final game, ran into Danville Christian, fell behind, and then Cooper Collins got hot in the second half, and they got back within three. So, yeah, they're in a good spot if they play like they have as of late. Their record's a little deceiving. They played a killer schedule. So, interesting to see how it goes against Mayfield tonight. And I will be interested to see how Peyton Croft tries to play against all that Lyon County size.
Well, you mentioned that both teams for Lyon County drew first region opponents, which is a little rare, and both have late games. The girls played, I think, the next to last game last night. So if you're going into that thing, you'd like an earlier game. But when you're trying to play two tournaments simultaneously, you're going to have some weird start times for some of them.
Well, yeah, especially when you're playing 3 days of eight games a day. You start at 8:30 in the morning, and you go till, late night at night. Ask UHA a couple of years back when they played four overtimes in that last game. But the last second region team to win the All-A Classic won it coming out of the 9:30 game. University Heights, when they won it with Kiki Tandy and his crew back in 2019, they came out of the 9:30 game, had to play a 9:30 game on Thursday, 9:30 game on Friday. So they came out of that bottom to win it. So, it's possible to make that run coming out of that bottom spot. You just got to, I guess the guys for Lyon County did the one of the good things is they're keeping their day as much normal as possible. They didn't come up yet. They're still back home. They're coming up later on today to get ready for that game tonight.
The All-A Classic basketball tournament going on in Owensboro. And, Tom, Owensboro has kind of become the official, unofficial home of the All-A Classic and the Kentucky 2A championships, for that matter.
Yeah, I saw somebody on Facebook make a comment about they wish to go back to Richmond, and I replied to the comment, those of us in the West like it being in Owensboro. But I think the city of Owensboro and Owensboro Tourism really like it being here. They now have in consecutive weeks in January, which is generally a slow month for their time of the year, but they have the Kentucky 2A sectional state tournament, which brings 16 teams to town. And then you have the All-A Classic the next week, which brings 32 teams into Owensboro and Davis County. I think last year when they talked about right before the tournament coming into Owensboro last year, the expected economic impact for Owensboro-Davis County was a cool $1 million. And think about it, that's in January.
Yeah, and a lot of communities, I don't think, really embraced having the All-A Classic. It was just, you know, something that they had to do. But Owensboro has actively sought those tournaments, and not just for basketball.
Yeah, I mean, the All-A has been in Richmond for quite some time. It's in, you know, it was in Frankfort once upon a time, but that arena is now gone. The first year that they were working on McBrayer, they took it to Corbin, and Corbin has a nice events arena. It's horrible for basketball because everybody's so far away from the floor that it's just, it feels like you're sitting in a massive barn or something, and it's just, it's a great concert venue. It's a great tractor pull arena. It's not a great basketball arena. So after that year of adventure in Corbin, which had issues with hotels and restaurants, you come to Owensboro, and suddenly you've got hotel rooms, you got plenty of rooms, you got plenty of restaurants. Owensboro, known as one of the fast food restaurant capitals of the region, and you've got a tourism board that says, "Hey, we want you, y'all come here. We'll do it up." The sports center, you have an iconic venue. Longtime home of Kentucky Wesleyan. It used to be the home of the Owensboro Red Devils. Apollo used to make it their home before they built their own gym. Owensboro Catholic is right across the street. It's just, it's a basketball arena. It's a cozy arena, and it's just a good place to play basketball. And like I said, Owensboro is like, we're happy to have you here.
Yeah, the Sports Center has been there, what, since the 70s or 80s? Because I think there was an early Kiss concert there back in the day.
No, actually, the sports center, I forget how old the sports center is, but it's been here a long time. Kentucky Wesleyan has played. It's been the home of the Panthers for a long, long time. It is just, you know, one of those places. They've redone it recently, the inside, the floor, and some of the internal things, but there's still some of the parts of it that are still the same way they were when I came to college up here in fall of 1978. I was walking through the arena yesterday, and it's just, there are memories that flow through there of games I've been to. I went to a game there when Rex Chapman played at Apollo, saw Apollo play Owensboro on a night when you could not wedge another backside in a seat in that place.
Now, there used to be a picture of Kiss on the concourse there someplace, and it had the date for the concert, so you think that's still there?
That concert flyer is still there. They've got that flyer, and they've got several other things that have been there in the Owensboro Sports Center. I was thinking last night I was walking through there. I was there in a game in 1984. Kentucky Wesleyan was playing Virginia Union when Charles Oakley was playing for Virginia Union. Wesleyan trailed Virginia Union that night, but 9 points inside the final 2 minutes. Wesleyan made a big run. And Virginia Union had a key free throw opportunity with like 15 seconds to go. And I swear the place got so loud, the arena shook. Kid missed the free throw. Wesleyan wins and gets on to the final eight.
Yeah, so you're talking an historic venue there to get to play the games in. And I guess softball and baseball are coming back to Owensboro again. And like I said, for Western Kentucky, we like having those things, you know, relatively close. It's like an hour and a half trip from Princeton to Owensboro.
Yeah, and I mean, well, for perfect example for the Lyon County girls, they came up yesterday afternoon late. They went home last night. They went home back to bed. In fact, the girls said they had to go back to school today. Some of them said they weren't going but half a day by the time they got home. But, I mean, they were back in school today. So it's close enough that they can do that. Probably Lyon County and Owensboro Catholic, the only teams that are not staying, but I expect the Lady Lions will probably stay tomorrow, and the Lions will stay once they get here tonight. But by them not playing again until Friday, they went back home last night. Yeah.
We're talking this morning with Tom Rogers of YourSportsEdge.com. He's in Owensboro, the site of the All-A Classic State Basketball Tournament this week. We need to get to another break on the show. We'll come back and have more right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Stallings Auto Sales has an excellent reputation for providing quality cars at great prices. Stop by 1944 West 7th Street, Hopkinsville today. Stallings Auto Sales, your trusted source for used cars.
Great news from Caldwell Medical Associates, now offering expanded podiatry services at the Annex. Anna Murphy and Dr. Walker Estes provide comprehensive podiatric care, from wound care to specialized treatments for foot and ankle issues. Whether you're dealing with sports injuries, arthritis, or require surgical attention, they're ready to tailor treatment to your needs. Don't let foot pain hold you back. Take the first step with Caldwell Medical Associates. Pain-free living right here, close to home.
Are you looking to make tax season a little brighter? Look no further than Princeton's premier car dealer. They have a wide selection of cars to fit any budget. Their friendly staff are there to help you find the perfect car for your needs. Plus, they offer special financing options to make your purchase even more affordable. Don't wait. Visit them today and make tax season brighter with a new car from Princeton's premier car dealer. For more information, visit TriceHughes.com.
It's a proven fact. Going on vacation is really good for your health and happiness. But if money is holding you back from sandy beaches, the mountains, or relaxing by a pool, then you need to visit ABC Finance. They can help get you to that vacation destination you've been dreaming about. They offer loans from $500 to $15,000, and decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour. Your dream vacation is within reach with help from ABC Finance. All loans subject to normal credit approval.
This is Todd Morse at the Hopkinsville ABC Finance location.
And this is Courtney Morse at ABC Finance in Princeton.
Whatever location is closest to you, we're here to help make your loan process quick, easy, and stress-free.
We can even consolidate all your loans into one easy payment.
No appointment is needed, walk-ins are welcome, and we can take your application in person, over the phone, or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
Be sure to like and follow ABC Finance on Facebook for daily money tips and community info.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. We're talking this morning with Tom Rogers, who is in Owensboro for the state All-A Classic basketball tournaments. Lyon County's girls won their opener last night. They play again Friday afternoon in the quarterfinals. Lyon County's guys will play their opener tonight. And Tom, we've talked about the All-A Classic and the Kentucky 2A Championships, which were last week up in Owensboro. However, there has been some talk about the KHSAA potentially going to classes in some sports at some time in the near future. If that were to happen, what do you think the impact would be on the All-A Classic and the Kentucky 2A Championships?
The All-A, I'm not sure. The All-A has a little bit longer history. The Kentucky 2A, that might change it. I mean, the Kentucky All-A has its own status and so forth right now, but I did notice the other day coming out of the KHSAA board meeting that there were reports that there was not a lot of interest in classifying soccer. Now, I don't know who they've talked to, but a lot of coaches I've talked to are really interested in classifying soccer. So I don't know if they're looking for a way not to do it. There were rumors that they were looking at doing soccer 1 year and then doing volleyball the next year. I do not expect to see the cash cow basketball do that. So it'll be interesting to see whether that discussion holds on or whether they just table it and hope that it goes away for a little while.
Yeah, sometimes when you listen to those KHSAA meetings, there seems to be a disconnect with some of the people on the board and some of the administrators around the state, because you hear a couple of different things. And one sport that is classified is football, and there was a lot of talk about, you know, the upcoming realignment. We'll see alignment again in 2027. But one of the biggest things that was discussed was what to do with the football playoffs. And, you know, right now we're playing cross-district in the playoffs, but there's some talk that maybe that won't continue after this upcoming season.
Yeah, well, I can tell you the first thing they need to do with the playoffs.
What's
and
that?
And that is get away from four teams getting in and go back to winner and district runner-ups getting in. You know, the situation is, if you get a team that can't win a game all year getting in the playoffs, I'm like, you know, we have so many 1-4 games that are running clock games that first week.
Well, and I wouldn't have a problem with four teams getting into the playoffs if there were more than four teams in the district. You know, if each district had six, seven, or eight teams, I think I'd be okay with the top four going to the playoffs.
Well, if you remember, Marshall County's been in a district for several years where they didn't get in, but they went in across, well, into another district.
They were going to that district. That's the number five seed. Yeah. So that really makes it tough. And, of course, one of the things that was brought up was that schools don't like losing to the same school every year in the playoffs. So they want to switch it up a little bit where at least if you're going up against a powerhouse in the first round or if you're a small school who's probably not going to have a lot of playoff success, you at least want, you know, a different experience for your team and for your fan base than just going to the same place and losing to the same team every year.
Yeah, and of course, see, a part of that conversation was also going to the RPI, not in the third round, but the second round.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I like the idea of the RPI, but it feels like it still needs some tweaking.
Well, the system overall needs some tweaking, and the perfect example of that was the RPI in volleyball a couple of years ago. It had Assumption ranked as the RPI had Assumption ranked seventh in the state. A team that had 71 players didn't lose to a Kentucky team, won the state championship, and yet RPI at one point in the year ranked them seventh.
Yeah, I could see that being an issue, but. You know, you look at the football playoffs coming up this year, they'll be the same as last year, but it will be interesting to see what changes, and I'm not sure how much the alignment's going to change. The big question I've always had since they put the current alignment in place is, why do we have six teams in Class 2A's first district and four in the second district instead of just having five in each one of them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Todd County for a long time was in that other district. Now they're in that first district. And you're right, if you shift Todd County back into the second, you balance it out. I don't know, you know, what their logic is on that or what they're going to do with that. I still think six classes is too many.
Yeah, I'm not sure what ultimately they will decide, but, you know, I don't know that there's a perfect solution to anything. I don't think classes will solve everything. If you go to classes in every sport, I don't think that fixes everything. And no matter what football playoff format you come up with, I don't see a perfect solution there either.
No, and, you know, it's one of those things. I've always said in basketball, if they wanted to do it and keep the aura of the Sweet 16, what you do in basketball is you could go to four classes, play your final four for each of your classes in Lexington, and then you have your overall winner of each class do a final four statewide overall and play to an ultimate state champion. You could do it all still the same way you do in Lexington, have individual class winners of 1, 2, 3, 4, and have an overall state champion. That would be the way to do that and have – you know, get some classification, but still have your overall state champion. But, you know, that conversation, Lyon County and Edmondson County have forever ruined that discussion.
Well, yeah, but those were like 50 years apart. You know, it's I know that's what they use, and I know there are still people that say, well, Indiana went to classes, and it killed high school basketball in Indiana, but it really hasn't. You know, if you look now at Indiana high school basketball, it's thriving in ways that I'm not sure Kentucky basketball in high school is.
You know, I always wanted to tell Coach Lyle Dunbar, I mean, he was the man responsible for not having class. If that Christian County team wins over Edmondson County that year in the state tournament, it's happening. They were there. The votes were in line, and everything was set to have the switch to classification in Kentucky basketball. And then Bo Davenport's Edmondson County team gets on that run at the Sweet 16 and wins it. And all of a sudden, it's all the talk is, well, the little guy does have a chance. And that quieted that down for a while. And then you're right. Ever so often it cycles up. Paintsville had a good run for a while with the team they had. And then the Lions get that state championship. And all the people who don't want classification point to that and say, look, see, they can win it.
Yeah, but so, you talk about those Paintsville teams. And it's kind of like a lot of teams in Eastern Kentucky. When one program gets really good, it attracts all the talent from that area. So they had kids from, you know, not just Paintsville, but from other places. Kind of bolstering that program a little bit.
Yeah, and then you have it's not a little bitty school, but in a program that nobody had really heard of at the time, Shelby Valley does that little run too.
Yeah.
Where they have that run of really good team. So you're right. There is no way that's going to make everybody happy. You've got that many people. There's no way to make everybody happy when you got that many people involved in the situation.
No, and the situation changes as you go across the state. You know what? What might be great in Western Kentucky doesn't work in the Louisville area, and what works in Central Kentucky might not work in the hills of Eastern Kentucky. So it's like you're trying to deal with four or five different states and trying to get everybody on the same page somehow.
Well, perfect example of that. I was looking at the brackets last night, looking at the regions the teams came out of. In the first region, you've got a bunch of all-A teams, a bunch of small schools, all-A teams that play. And then in the district that Holy Cross came out of to play, Louisville Holy Cross, there were three teams in that district. And you go to the first region, if you go to the first in that region, and you go to the first region, you've got Fulton City, you got St. Mary, you got Carlisle, you got Hickman, you got Ballard Memorial. I mean, you got a truckload of small schools. Second region the same way. You got a chunk of teams, and you go to some of these regions, there's three teams.
And, of course, the argument a lot of people make when you go to talk about classes is, well, the All-A Classic is there for the smaller schools. The Kentucky 2A Championships are there for the next size schools up. So we really don't need classes because we already have a system in place for the smaller schools.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Neither one of those events are technically sanctioned by the KHSAA. They're not. They're an all-A champion, and you're a Kentucky 2A champion, but technically, by the KHSAA standards, you're not a KHSAA Class 1, Class 2, Class 3, or KHSAA overall champion. You're just the all-A Classic champion. And so, while, yeah, it's the all-A state championship, it's technically not a sanctioned event by the KHSAA.
Yeah, as far as the KHSAA is concerned, it's essentially the Paducah-Tillman Christmas tournament. You know, it's just another in-season tourney.
Yeah, I mean they count it in your number of games. If you play four games here and you were booked full on your schedule already, then you've got to drop some games. So they just view it as another game. And, oh, you're an All-A champion. That's nice. But here's our tournament coming up in March where we're going to crown the state champion.
Yeah, so, again, there's no real good way to go about it.
No. You know, the All-A people got this thing together. If you remember, this started out as, an 18 tournament in northern Kentucky?
Yeah.
And it expanded, and, you know, it does. The schools that win All-A championships take it pretty seriously. And they recognize it is their chance to win a state championship.
And it's kind of established at this point because I think we've been going, 30 or 35 years now with the All-A Classic?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the early 90s. I'd have to look up on their site, but it started out, and when it expanded to all 16 regions, it's been going since. It started out small in Lexington. It's been to Richmond. It's been to Frankfort, and, you know, back to Richmond, and then had a year in Corbin. Now it's been 2 years in Owensboro. It's just it's pretty neat. I like the All-A people, the way they run this thing. It's a lot more welcoming from a media standpoint. They're like, hey, glad you're here. And that carries over to the other stuff they run, whether it's the soccer or the volleyball or the baseball, softball. It's just it's a different feel than the rigidity and the formality of the Sweet 16.
Well, and that's something a lot of us have talked about for a while now is that, you know, while a lot of us might be for classification by the Kentucky High School Athletic Association, we're not throwing any shade at the All-A Classic because they've done a good job for 30 or 35 years now in making sure that the smaller schools at least, you know, have an opportunity to compete at a state level.
Yeah, and their biggest thing is they're trying to lock in some support. You know, for a long time, Touchstone Energy was the headline sponsor of the All-A Classic, and they pulled out. So this crew works hard. This All-A committee, they don't just work getting ready for tournament time. They work year-round. Of course, they also do golf, and they do soccer, and they do volleyball, and they do baseball, softball. They work year-round with these events, and, you know, they don't get all the glamour and the glitz and the attention that the Sweet 16 does, but this crew works hard in our area. Rhonda Simpson is on the committee. Jeff Doom is on the committee. And, I mean, they work hard putting this together. Those guys had a long day yesterday.
We're talking this morning with Tom Rogers of YourSportsEdge.com and the Edge Media Group. He's in Owensboro, the site of the All-A Classic State Basketball Tournament this week. We need to get to a break. Back with more after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Joshua Tree Boutique, East Court Square in historic downtown Princeton. A boutique filled with ladies' clothing with an emphasis on color and unique style. Beautiful jewelry, too. Follow on Facebook.
High school juniors and seniors, are you ready to take control of your financial future? First Southern National Bank is excited to highlight the Give, Save, and Spend course offered through Asbury University. This hands-on course teaches practical money management skills, including how to give generously, save regularly, and spend wisely. It's the perfect way to prepare for life ahead. Registration is now open on the Asbury University website. Don't miss this opportunity to build financial confidence that lasts a lifetime.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Brian Chilton with H&R AgriPower. The newest evolution of Farm All elevates performance, comfort, and styling to continue the legacy of this legendary tractor. The new Farm All Medium Utility C-Series features four models that combine power and technology for use on the farm and field. Field Ops connectivity enables geolocation and remote monitoring of machine functions, while heavy-duty front axle, increased hydraulic flow, and more rear lift capacity provide the power to handle more work with ease. Case IH built by farmers.
Stop by H&R AgriPower in Hopkinsville today to find out more about the all-new Farm All C.
Getting the kids to school makes mornings a little busier for everyone. Keep your kids safe with a reliable ride from U-Ride. Every vehicle is thoroughly checked for safety because they know your family comes first. From first cars for teens to dependable family SUVs, U-Ride has a range to fit every budget. Enjoy peace of mind knowing they're nearby and ready to help. U-Ride is committed to you after the sale. Visit them on Marion Road in Princeton and drive with confidence this school year.
This is Alan Watts with Your Ag Edge, inviting you to join me Monday through Friday at 5:30 a.m. for the WPKY Morning Ag Report. We check in daily with Caldwell County Agriculture Extension Agent Shane Bogle, get the latest from fellow farm broadcaster Max Armstrong, take a look at the latest livestock market reports, hear the latest edition of Traveling to Bluegrass, and check the opening grain market with Hopkins Elevator's Ben Westerfield. That's the Morning Ag Report from Your Ag Edge Network on 103.3 FM and 1580 AM WPKY.
We are back here on the Sideline Report at 1580-103.3 WPKY. Tom Rogers joining us this morning from Owensboro, the site of the All-A Classic State Basketball Tournament. And Tom, we were talking about the KHSAA and some decisions they have to make. And Scott Brown was on with me last week, and we talked about the Ryers scoreboard situation. And it was kind of interesting to hear the folks at the KHSAA talk last week. It seems like they had a contingency plan in place in case something were to happen to the scoreboard, but I don't remember if they ever publicly told what that contingency plan is.
I want to see that plan before I believe that there is a plan in place.
Yeah.
Frank did such a great job with that, and the KHSAA just messed him over. I mean, they got into this relationship with Arbiter, and you know, for those of us who write and cover all this stuff, there's a lot of information, a lot of records connected to Frank's site that we may not have access to anymore. Like, you know, if you go to a game where two teams are playing each other, there's the dual eras out to the right. You can click on those dual eras and see every game since that site launched and how they did against each other. That's not available on Arbiter. I mean, we're going to lose that kind of information. We're going to lose a lot of stuff unless they handle this right.
Yeah, there's 30 years worth of results and stats that are on that site that need to be protected at least somewhere. And Scott and I mentioned last week, if you go and try to find something on an Illinois team or a Tennessee team or a Missouri team, you know, good luck, because it's not out there, not like what we've enjoyed with the scoreboard page for, like I said, going back to at least 2000 and maybe even before that.
Yeah, and you look at the KHSAA Reinhardt site right now, once the coaches put their information in, you can see the scoring, the shooting, football has defensive stats and all that. You go to Arbiter and click on a game result, you see a score.
Yeah.
That's it. You don't see no information. It is going to be a complete wipeout of information. And as we've all talked before, I want to see what the KHSAA is going to do with it, and I'll believe it when they have the plan, because this right now, how far behind are we on state basketball records? I mean, Travis Perry, if you go to the KHSAA basketball records, Travis Perry doesn't show up as the state's all-time leading scorer.
Yeah, I think they're 3 or 4 years behind in updating the all-time records.
Yeah, it's behind 3 years, so I'm not trusting until they show me what a plan is going to be. That site, you and I can attest to it, for many, many years has been a resource. You know, when you're getting ready to cover a game or you're writing up a story on a game after it, that's one of the first places you go to.
Oh, yeah, we use it every day. I mean, literally every day.
So I don't know what's going to happen with that. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, but, you know, it's been a sports information staple now for 30 years.
Now, personally, I wish that the KHSAA could partner with somebody like Game Changer or Huddle or somebody like that and just have, like, every school keep their game stats in one program and then just have a program where you can upload those stats afterward, you know, into one site. To me, that would make perfect sense. It would be the easiest on everybody.
Yeah. I mean, Arbiter, the one thing I do like about the Arbiter relationship is that you can sign up for notifications, and if a team makes a change to a schedule, you can get a text or an email. I like that aspect of it. But from the standpoint of other information, it's not good. I mean, it's the system they use to get the officials paid and things like that. But from a statistical information part, it's nothing.
Well, and you talk about Frank Ryard, and he's going to have to bow out of doing that because of health issues. But that's a case where they even mentioned that he wasn't really a paid employee. He just kind of took it upon himself to put that site together.
Yeah, think about that. All those years he did that, he did it for his love of the game. I mean, that's obvious as why Frank did that. And so, you know, it's a shame. It will be a shame if they just let it fall off the table. It will be a real shame if that falls.
But, you know, all those stat leaders that we see through the years, those come from that site. The RPI, I'm guessing they get the scores from that site. That's how they can do the RPI. So that's a pretty significant setback if they can't figure out some way to keep all that going.
Yeah, so that's I'm taking, in regards to their statement on that, I'm taking a wait-and-see approach. By the way, I don't want to let time get away from us here without mentioning a statistical thing that happened last night.
Okay.
Lyon County's Courtney Collins on a three-pointer to start the second half hit 1,000 for her career last night.
Yeah, and she's, what, the second member of the family to hit 1,000?
Yeah, well, Calista did for rebounds too, didn't she?
I think so.
So, yeah, she's done that. So, it's interesting. If Lyon County's girls could make a run and maybe win this thing, is there any coach ever that's won a baseball state championship and a basketball state championship in the same 12-month period?
Gee, I'd have to think about that one for a while. Coach Baker, though, kind of fell into a pretty good situation there with the Lyon girls when he took over that program. And, you know, you look at the second region, and that was one thing I was going to try to get to today about the top teams in the region overall. Lyon County is up there toward the top. Can anybody beat Henderson County, I guess, is the big question.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was at the Christian County-Henderson County game earlier this week. Christian County's defense limited Henderson to 16 points in the first half, and Christian County had the lead at halftime. Problem for Christian County is they have trouble getting the ball in the basket when the other team starts heating up a little bit. And when Henderson found their shooting eye a bit in the second half, they couldn't respond, but they defensively locked down on them and had a shot at halftime. The question is, can you play enough defense against Henderson to slow them down, and can you score enough to take advantage of it when they're slowed down? I think there are two teams in the region that have a shot at them, and they're both in the 5th district. I think Lyon and Crittenden, we may be looking at a three-team race to the region. That's Henderson, Lyon, Crittenden. Christian County could be one of those teams that knocks somebody off somewhere, but I don't know that they can put the run together. But those three right now look to be, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else.
Well, I might throw Hopkins County Central in there too.
Well, yeah.
When everybody's healthy.
And when everybody's healthy, that's the thing for them, is they struggle, and they're going to be another one of those teams. Can somebody beside Mincer get hot shooting from outside?
You look at the boys' second region lineup, and right now if you check the media poll, Henderson County and Lyon County one vote apart for first and second.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, to me, until they play each other, which that is on the schedule during the regular season, it's hard to get a feel for which one has the upper hand. Henderson County lost some talent from last year. Lyon County's got everybody back. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Lyon County's got the size. Henderson County had shooters last year. I would still lean toward Henderson being at the top by a hair until I get to see them on the court against each other. But I think if Lyon County plays like they did the other day against Lighthouse Christian, They're going to be a tough out. Part of the problem has been they've had some trouble shooting the ball from outside. Cooper Collins finally got on track against Lighthouse Christian and it was hot. Nolan Kaufman hit six threes. If they knock down 12 threes a game, they are going to be a hard, hard team to beat.
I did not realize this until after I voted on Saturday night, but apparently my ballot was the last one to get in, Tom. And I broke the tie at number one. I had Henderson, or I had Lyon County by a smidge over Henderson, so that's why Lyon County is number one this week.
Yep. So that's the question is, who makes a run at them? Hopkinsville played Lyon tough for most of the game earlier. Christian County has, they're like last year, have their moments struggle. They struggle shooting the ball at times, but defensively they're pretty solid and they've got pretty good depth. It's UHA is getting better. They have one position they've still got to resolve, but they've got some young talent coming up. But I think they're still Jordan's team still a year or two away. So who makes the charge at those two, or is it everybody else hopes when the region tournament draw takes place that Lyon and Henderson end up in the same half of the bracket and you only got to go through one of them?
Well, and once we get through the All-A Classic, it's kind of a mad dash now to the district tournament and regional tournaments at the end of the year.
Yep, a dash to the end, and everybody will be trying to fine-tune things and tweak things, and district tournament draws will be here before we know it. It's hard to believe that we're that close to the end of another basketball season.
We're talking this morning with Tom Rogers of YourSportsEdge.com. He's in Owensboro at the All-A Classic State Basketball Tournament. When you get to one more time out here on the show, we'll come back and have more on the Sideline Report after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Dirty or low oil can seriously shorten the life of your engine. That's why the certified service experts at Trice Hughes in Princeton undergo extensive training to understand your vehicle's engine and oil needs. With regular oil changes from their experienced team, you can trust your vehicle is ready to perform its best mile after mile. Don't let neglect keep you off the road. Visit Trice Hughes for your next oil change and keep your vehicle running strong. Schedule today at TriceHughes.com.
Since 1894, serving as your steadfast local banking choice for Fredonia Valley Bank. The world has transformed since then, but their dedication to you, their neighbors, has not wavered. Navigate financial complexity with a bank that's powered by 129 years of excellence. They're committed to investing in their community and the prosperity of their customers. Remember, choose local, live local, dine local, shop local, and bank local. Fredonia Valley Bank, where local people make local decisions. Your genuine community bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, sports fans. You wouldn't want your favorite sports team to play only offense or defense. When it comes to insurance, why settle for someone that can handle only your auto policy? At Goodwin Insurance, they take care of all your insurance needs. You deserve someone that provides comprehensive coverage and is working alongside you in your community. Contact them today for a quote.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. We're talking with Tom Rogers of YourSportsEdge.com. He's in Owensboro at the All-A Classic State Basketball Tournament. Lyon County's girls won their opener last night. They play again Friday afternoon. Lyon's guy is on tap tonight. And, of course, you can read all about it over at YourSportsEdge.com. Tom, we got a chance to talk a little college sports for a few minutes here, and the Kentucky Wildcat basketball team has won four straight. Does that calm down some of the Kentucky fans who are maybe hyperventilating earlier this season about a couple of losses here and there?
It might, unless they lose to Ole Miss on Saturday.
Yeah, well, there's always the next game, right?
Yep, there's always that next game. It calms them down for a night. Interesting to see how Travis plays Saturday.
That'll be an interesting matchup for a lot of people.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. He's had a couple of big games for Ole Miss, so it'll be interesting to see how he comes into Rupp Arena and shoots. And, you know, talk about calming down Big Blue Nation. You got Arkansas and Vandy coming up, so it'll be interesting to see how those two play out. And we'll make a further evaluation of the mental health of the Kentucky fans after that week.
You know, I think not only has Travis kind of figured out his role at Ole Miss, but I think Ole Miss has kind of figured out the best way to use Travis.
Yeah, I mean, UK tried to use him at point guard some last year, and you know they were in a situation they didn't have any choice. But Travis is always better. He ran point in high school, but he's better when he can get spotted up and shoot. And we all know he can shoot.
Now, has any coach endured more injuries in his first 2 years on the job than Mark Pope?
If you're a player that goes to UK and you're a point guard, are you wondering if what's going to happen to you when you get there? I mean, this is 2 years in a row they've had point guard issues, and not just point guard issues, point guard shoulder issues. So, I'd be a little nervous if I was being recruited to be a point guard at UK right now. But and another question is, okay, we're going through this again with a kid that comes in, big NBA prospects, and got a knee issue, and you know, is he going to play again? And with Jaden Quaintance, is he going to play again, or is he going to pack it up at some point and say, I'm just not going to risk it?
Yeah, that makes a big difference because they were a different team, I thought, with him on the court.
Yeah, I think they survive. They can make a survival at point guard without Lowe. He was a big factor. But Quaintance is a game-changing presence down inside. Now, they're getting better at adapting to the situation by the way they're playing. They just need to get over these bad starts, and they got, you know, they didn't have to dig out of a massive hole last night. But at some point, those kind of starts will get you buried against somebody. So it's just UK fans need to settle in and get used to the fact there may not be a pretty game this year. They're just gonna have to grind it and win ugly.
Well, and I think we're all kind of getting used to what is a new landscape in college sports. We saw Indiana win a national championship in football, which we never thought was possible. And I'm not sure it would have been possible before NIL and the transfer portal came along.
Yeah, it's a completely different world. Hey, I wonder if Boogie Cousins would want to come back and play for a couple of years. You know, you got the guy at Alabama who sued his way on to the roster. He's had, what, 3 G League contracts?
Yeah.
Maybe Boogie could sue and get back on the UK roster.
Well, and this is one time I actually agree with the NCAA when they said that they need Congress to step in and make sure they can enforce, you know, their own regulations, because I just don't see how you can have people come back and get a judge's order and then be eligible. That's, you know, if you've left and you've signed a pro contract, I don't think you should be able to play college sports after that.
Well, and here's the thing, too. The judge overstepped his bounds. This is the NCAA is not a public entity. It's a private entity that has the right to set its own rules and regulations. And the judge just went massive over what I see as his judicial authority in making that ruling that the guy can come back. Not by the rules of the organization. And, you know, it's one of those things. Nobody has a right necessarily to play NCAA college basketball. It's a privilege, and it's something you earn. So at some point, surely some court's going to toss it out and say, no, this ain't right.
It's interesting that in less than a decade, we've gone from one and done to where kids couldn't wait to get out of college and get to the pros where they can make some money, to now that the colleges can pay them, guys are wanting to play 5, 6, 7, 8 years in college.
Yeah. I mean, now you can stay in college and make a good living. And, you know, a lot of those guys that are getting some good living in college might go to the NBA, get cut, and not have any living. So you could see that, hey, and you don't have to play 80 games. That's another thing.
Yeah, Indiana has shown now, though, that, you know, anybody can kind of put together the right team and get the right coaching staff together. And I think a lot of UK fans are hopeful that Will Stein is the guy at Kentucky that will finally get Kentucky into that, you know, playoff situation in football.
Yeah, if I'm Will Stein, I called Cignetti the next morning and said, thanks a lot, dude.
Yeah.
Because that he just put pressure on every coach in the country, because Indiana was the football laughingstock of the country, and now they've got a national championship, and every program, every fan base is going to look at Indiana and say, they did it, why can't we?
Well, and if you look at Coach Stein, I like to call him Mr. Coach Stein, you know, like in The Water Boy, Mr. Coach Klein. But anyway, if you look at him and they talk to him and they say, well, you know, it's going to be tough to compete in the SEC because you have to play Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, LSU, Texas, all those schools. But Coach Stein replies, well, yeah, but they've got to play us. So I kind of like his attitude.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, you know, Cignetti would say, well, right now the Big Ten looks to be at the top. And you look at the run they beat Ohio State coming down the stretch. They beat Oregon. They beat the socks off Alabama. So, you know, that excuse is going to hold less and less now.
And I saw a stat that said Indiana won 10 games against top 10 teams this season. Previously, in all of the Indiana football history, they had won 6 games against top 10 teams.
Yeah, you think he's got a little job security now for a while?
Yeah, whatever he wants.
Yeah. Asketh and you shall receive.
All right, one more question this morning, and who do you have in the Super Bowl?
Let's see. Who do I have in the Super Bowl?
I mean, Seattle looks like the team right now, right?
Man, Seattle, what they did to the Niners was just tough. So I would say Seattle, and I think New England goes in and beats Denver without Bo Nix. And then I think Seattle handles New England. I think Seattle's just that much better right now.
Yeah, that's the way it looks. I think the Rams have a chance to outscore them maybe because the last time they played, it was a shootout. Rams had a couple of touchdown lead there in the fourth quarter, and Seattle came back. But right now it seems – and I'm not a big Seattle fan because, you know, I've been a Rams fan, and they were in the same division. So, you know, my thoughts are anybody but Seattle. But I don't really want to see the Patriots win either. They've got plenty of them, so let somebody else win it.
Just imagine how loud the 12th man will be this week.
Oh, yeah. It'll be crazy. But maybe we'll get good games out of it.
Yeah, that would be the good thing, get some good games.
Well, good luck today covering Lyon County. I know it's going to be a late night, but we'll be looking at yoursportsedge.com later for information.
All right, thanks, sir.
That's Tom Rogers from Owensboro, the site of the state All-A Classic basketball tournament this week. Again, Lyon County's girls with a win last night. They'll play Friday afternoon. Lyon County's guys playing Mayfield tonight in their first-round game at the state All-A Classic. Coming up on Friday is our next basketball broadcast here on WPKY. We'll have the Caldwell County Tigers and Lady Tigers against Hopkins County Central, a big 7th district matchup from the Cab Gym. And you can hear all the action of both games right here on WPKY Friday night. That's going to wrap us up this morning for the Sideline Report. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us this morning here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY.